Hello and welcome to Wattcast. My name is Roger Watson, and these podcasts are dedicated to readings of various articles that I've had published in newspapers and magazines. They reflect my views on politics, the pandemic, and current affairs. Thank you very much for listening. 'Tis the season to be worried. This is my column for the New Conservative of the 16th of November 2022. It's that time of year again. The John Lewis advert is out, selection boxes are on the shelves in Tesco, and the NHS is heading for its annual winter crisis. By all accounts, we're in for a bumper one this year, the worst crisis ever, so at least that's something to look forward to. According to The Guardian, NHS staff are petrified of what will happen in the NHS this winter. Some of them are so petrified they're going to stand still outside hospital gates in nurses' uniforms to emphasise the point. They're going on strike. The NHS has well over £100 billion at its disposal annually. The shape of any graph representing NHS spending in recent years looks like the north face of the Eiger. Money was hosed at it during the sniffles pandemic, £37 billion for test and trace alone, and still, at the slightest mention of a winter crisis, it does its best Oliver Twist impression and begs for more. £10 million this year for winter mental health services, for instance. And yet the service just gets worse. Some whining NHS Panjandrum was on the BBC Radio Today programme this week, bleating about how her staff had just been through two very stressful years of the pandemic and were facing burnout. I've never made a TikTok video, but I can imagine it is quite stressful, and the sheer stress of being interviewed on the telly in front of an empty Nightingale ward, wondering when you're going to be called out by a switched-on member of the viewing public, must have been excruciating. Alas, the peasants simply would not oblige and die in the numbers predicted by Neil Mystic Meg Ferguson of Imperial College. Damn them. The Nightingale hospitals were never used and many casualty departments stood empty. What I ask is burning these nurses out. I've no idea how much money it takes to run the NHS effectively, but based on a lifetime of watching the budget increase and services decline, I know the answer to that question is not more. To use an analogy that is relevant to the NHS, if a patient is bleeding to death, then it's imperative to administer blood in sufficient quantities to keep the person alive. But while that's happening, someone must also locate the source of the bleed and stop it. The NHS has been constantly infused with funding, but despite promises to the contrary, nothing ever happens to stem the problem. It's an easy shot to point at some of the high salaries in the NHS, but in 2015 there were over 50,000 people being paid salaries higher than £100,000, and we've recently hired another 400 bureaucrats who are being paid over £100,000. The chief executive is paid £250,000. By the living standards of most people, these are eye-watering salaries, but the question is not how much they're paid, but what exactly are they doing. Then there's the Brigade of Inclusion and Diversity Officers, 800 of them earning £47,000 a year, and since wherever two or three Inclusion and Diversity Officers gather together in the name of gender equality, there needs to be a Senior Inclusion and Diversity Officer, these come in very reasonably at £70,000 annually. During my time in the NHS, mercifully short, we were always shouting for an Inclusion and Diversity Officer to attend the gory scene of a misgendering or help resuscitate yet another casualty of white privilege. I've no idea how many years I've left to wander in God's earth, maybe single figures, or it may be another couple of decades. However long it is, I know, as I draw my last breath, someone somewhere will be speaking in a serious tone about the forthcoming winter crisis in the NHS.
This podcast was produced in association with youthpublicationslimited.com.